and I'm crazy for loving you. Crazy for thinking that my love.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now from CPAC, just outside of Washington, is Adele Stan, who is AltaNet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has an article at AltaNet.org, Rand Paul, No Progressive Hero Despite Anti-Drone Filibuster. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adele Stan.
Thank you so much for having me back, Ian.
Well, thank you for being our on-the-spot reporter at CPAC. I mean, I must admit, there's a certain masochism that liberals clearly have, that they can't get enough of these conservative wacko birds, to quote John McCain.
Yeah, there's a good handful of liberal and progressive reporters here.
So what is the fascination? Because it used to be that there were authentic conservatives who were quite coherent, going back to William F. Buckley and even Jack Kemp and more. But now it's CPAC seems to be a gathering of the fringe sort of talk show circus that has taken over the Republican Party to some extent, the Breitbarts and company, as well as people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, who spoke there today. So give us a flavor of what the percentage is of, and because Christie's not there. Instead of Christie, they've got Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's pretty clear that this is a gathering of wacko birds.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, Chris Christie notwithstanding, because he's really rather an outlier, this is your Republican Party, Ian Masters. This is how it is. And if you look at the agenda, of course, the people that capture the imaginations of reporters are the people you talk about, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Jim DeMint, these kinds of characters. But, you know, Mitch McConnell spoke here. He just, you know, doesn't really matter anymore, even though he's the Senate Majority Leader and the leader of the Republican Party in the Congress.
Right, and he's certainly not as cute as Ashley Judd, I must say.
Right, well, then there's that. But, I mean, I think really the larger point is that, you know, what CPAC really is it's sort of a gathering of all elements of the conservative movement. So at other gatherings, say, the Faith and Freedom Coalition gathering or the Values Voters Summit, you get the religious right. At other gatherings, you get the more secular libertarian right. At Republican Party gatherings, you get those who are, you know, who are very closely affiliated with the party. This is the one gathering every year where the whole of the movement comes together in one place. And of course, the people who steal the stage are the people that you describe as quote unquote wacko birds.
Well, Adele Stan, of course, they have this straw poll that is taken seriously, even though it's not serious, and and fairly consistently Rand Paul's father, Ron Paul, has won it. This year, Jeb Bush asked his name to be taken out of the straw poll, which I think is a dead sure sign that he's running for president. But
and he's going to be speaking here on Friday night.
Sure. So you've got the fact that Ron Paul and these young libertarians that have been attracted to him, who I believe they're in quite a lot of them on the floor there at CPAC. He's really done some groundwork for his son. So I think you can see a party that is splitting with the old national security hawks like McCain and Lindsey Graham and having tantrums against Rand Paul and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, you know, carving out some new territory. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I do think that a good chunk of this is generational. And I thought it was really fascinating to see Marco Rubio on the podium just ahead of Rand Paul. Two very different kinds of figures, but both of a generation that, you know, that the very people you're talking about, and that includes Ted Cruz, are vying for. I mean, the Republican Party is trying to expand its base. Its base is basically old white people right now, right? So they're trying to make an appeal to the young. And, you know, in that, I do think that Rand Paul has an advantage because the ideology of, say, Marco Rubio is more like sort of an old man's ideology coming out of, you know, a cute younger guy. Whereas Rand Paul is offering something completely different, especially when he calls for an end to the drug war and echoes some progressive positions on civil liberties and does not talk about his hostility to women's rights and gay rights.
So when he said at CPAC today, when Rand Paul said those things that liberals like to hear, how did the audience respond?
Well, that was what was really interesting, because here at CPAC, there usually is a pretty good contingent of young people and a lot of what I would call Paulites, you know, in other words, Ron Paul followers of Rand Paul's dad, who are young, tend to be college students. But you also have a lot of older people who travel from, you know, far and away. So my sense of the audience, and of course the media are kept here in sort of a pen behind the rest of the audience in the ballroom. My sense of things were that, you know, he got pretty lukewarm responses to his, when he asserted and went on a bit about the expansion of executive power being a big problem, when he talked about how terrible it was that American soldiers are being killed to support policies that actually are contra the Constitution. He was received kind of just barely politely on that, except for the Ron Paul people who and the younger people. One guy yelled out, you know, "Don't drone me, bro," reference to Rand Paul's anti-drone filibuster. But when he went and slammed Egypt and slammed Obama for sending aid to Egypt which he described as a nation hostile to U.S. interests and hostile to Israel, he got huge applause on that. You know.
So that's the old Islamophobia card being played.
Absolutely, and that played very, very well to this crowd. So I think that you can see where the tensions are in the party just by this sort of, you know, conflict-driven responses to Rand Paul's own speech. I mean, it was all there. There were things they loved about him and things that they were like, oh, I don't know about that.
Right. Again, I'm speaking with Adele Stan, who is at CPAC's meeting just outside of Washington. She is Altnet's Washington Bureau Chief, and she has an article at Altnet, Rand Paul's No Progressive Hero Despite Anti-Drone Filibuster. And it's pretty extraordinary to see how many liberals, I think, were taken in by Rand Paul. And there's no question that taking to the Senate floor and bringing up this extremely important issue of drones and presidential authority to assassinate American citizens, nothing is more important.
In the face of Democratic cowardice on
exactly.
That
no Democrat stood up and did it. But that doesn't mean that this is the right messenger for any liberal cause. I mean, this is a guy who sponsored the Fetal Personhood Amendment. And as you've written, Adele, he's a medical doctor who would rather see a woman dead of a botched abortion than one discarded fetus. And he's a white man who thinks private property trumps equal access to public accommodations for people of all races. So I basically think that most of the audience that Rand Paul is talking to are conservative, and some of them are quite out there on the fringes. And he's vying to take over a party and run for president. And surely he's appealing to the worst elements of who have captured this party, the birthers, the gun nuts, the creationists, this crowd. I mean, there's nothing worse than that toxic stew of ignorance and hatred, particularly towards our first black president.
Yeah, I couldn't argue that with you, Ian. I agree with you entirely. And you know what? As I've said, this filibuster was, you know, this was carefully planned, and believe me, it was a genius public relations move on Rand Paul's part. Just brilliant. And what it was the opening bid of his presidential campaign. And, you know, and you have all of these liberal guys or progressive guys, you know, kind of fawning over him, calling him heroic and courageous and sending out tweets with the hashtag Stand With Rand and all of this kind of thing. And what they are helping him to do is accrue more power to himself as they help catapult him into media attention and as they make him seem as if he's, you know, not so bad, not such a bad guy, right? That's the overall impression you get when you see somebody who is part of the progressive brand, you know, presenting the guy that way. And now, that said, Ian, I mean, it was just dreadful that the Democrats just bowed down on the nomination of John Brennan to lead the CIA, and that only three Democrats voted against that nomination, and that Democrats and progressive legislators have not been doing what they need to be doing to oppose targeted assassinations, to oppose torture, to oppose these things. So, but it's much harder work, you know, to do the organizing that creates conditions that makes it impossible for your senator or your legislator to not address these issues. It's much easier to name somebody a hero who is already on the floor, and I think that's what we saw happening.
Well, Adele, I thank you for joining us from CPAC. And if you find somebody from your father's or grandfather's Republican Party, be sure to interview him or her, will you?
I certainly will. It's a great idea, Ian. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Adele Stan, who is at CPAC, their gathering just outside of Washington. She is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief, and she has an article at Alternet, Rand Paul, No Progressive Hero Despite Anti-Drone Filibuster. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. And I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
Time was